This is our affirmation of faith for today from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th and 19th verses. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. The reading of God's word today is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. When the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. A blessed and happy 4th of July Sunday to you and all of our nation as America celebrates her birthday. 241st birthday? Daleville Christian Church was planted in American soil when the flag of the United States had only 28 stars. And men from this congregation fought, died, and were wounded in the American Civil War to make certain that all the stars in that flag remained to be a part of the flag we also display, the flag of the 50 United States of America. And Daleville Christian Church remains on American soil into this 3rd century. Daleville Christian Church was born in the 19th century, came through the 20th century, and Daleville Christian Church prays that she will continue and abide to serve Jesus Christ in this her 3rd century, the 21st century. I also remind you that Daleville Christian Church is not married to the United States of America. Daleville Christian Church was planted here, but the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. It is Christ whom this church wants to serve. Daleville Christian Church is grateful that this American soil has been fruitful soil for our Lord Jesus and his kingdom. America can be grateful that she has many heroes. As we celebrate the birthday of our nation, it's good to remember those people who made the birth of this nation possible. Most Americans know only a fraction about some of the main early leaders in this nation's beginnings. Some of you can rattle off a few names: Washington, Jefferson, Adams, Benjamin Franklin, maybe Patrick Henry. And then our knowledge and appreciation starts to become very thin. And yet there are so many more people to give thanks for, so many more people to celebrate. I am from Rush County, Indiana, named for Dr. Benjamin Rush. Know anything about him? He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He was born and educated in Pennsylvania. He was a popular and caring physician and had a heart for the poor of Philadelphia, where he lived. Rush published the first American textbook on chemistry. He was active in the Sons of Liberty in Philadelphia. In June of 1776, he was elected to attend the provincial conference to send delegates to the Continental Congress, and he was appointed to represent Philadelphia that year, and so attended and signed the Declaration of Independence. In 1777, he was appointed Surgeon General of the Middle Department of the Continental Army. But he didn't get along with the head of the department. He fought with him, he lost, and resigned. When the war went against the Americans, Dr. Rush secretly campaigned for removal of George Washington as commander-in-chief. As you can imagine, that would have been disastrous for the American cause. Those who knew him, including Benjamin Franklin, considered Dr. Rush a notorious gossip. He was also quick to judge others, and he was convinced of his own opinion. So, hero? Yes. Perfect? No. How about Richard Henry Lee of Virginia? There were two of the Lee family who signed the Declaration of Independence, and yes, they were the ancestors of General Robert E. Lee, who so successfully fought to put an end to the United States as we know it. Richard Henry Lee was the person who actually proposed independence to the Continental Congress from the colony of Virginia. His legislative motion led to the composition and writing of the Declaration of Independence. Caesar Rodney's actions were some of the most heroic with regard to the Declaration of Independence. Caesar Rodney was from Delaware. Each delegation of the colonies had more than one delegate member to the Continental Congress, except New Hampshire and the Massachusetts. They only had one delegate. Delaware had three delegate members. When the vote was called for the motion on the Declaration of Independence, Delaware's two other delegates were split on the motion. Caesar Rodney was out of town on business with the Delaware militia. Rodney was told to return for the vote. He rode 80 miles one night in a thunderstorm to arrive to cast the deciding vote for Delaware's delegation to favor American independence. The Continental Congress wanted the motion for independence to be unanimous among the 13 colonies. The reason is often given by a quote attributed to Benjamin Franklin: "We must all hang together, or we shall certainly all hang separately." That is, all the colonies must be together on the question of independence, because the fact that they had a Continental Congress voting to leave Great Britain was considered an act of treason, and therefore everyone attending the Continental Congress was liable to be hanged by British authorities sooner or later. And remember that the city of Boston had already been under siege by British forces for an entire year before the Continental Congress voted. Violence was already a part of the picture. We must all hang together, or we shall certainly all hang separately. Now hold those heroes in mind for a moment. Recently, and certainly for the last 10 years, some Americans have become disturbed about the personal past of a number of America's heroes. One especially whose reputation has been tarnished is that of Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson can be accurately and eloquently quoted as to his opposition to slavery, and yet Jefferson owned many slaves and had children by at least one of those slaves. Jefferson's inability to match his words with his deeds led one fellow Virginian to say of Jefferson, remarking scornfully, "Never did a man achieve more fame for what he did not do." Jefferson was famous for opposing slavery, and yet he still owned slaves. There's a popular program on public television, perhaps you've seen it. It's on genealogy. The program is called Finding Your Roots and features a Harvard professor, Henry Louis Gates, presenting the genealogies of American celebrities in different fields. I have found some celebrities' ties to history fascinating, including those whose families suffered in the Holocaust of European Jews in World War II. However, a couple of years ago, there was a controversy because mega movie star Ben Affleck was embarrassed that some of his ancestors were slave owners. He did not want that information to become a part of the television show when the program was broadcast. That's sad to me. To me, the truth is the truth. I wish all my ancestors were upright, moral, and always politically correct, but my ancestors were not. There is plenty of racism in my family tree to go around. Ben Affleck is not the only person bothered by his ancestors' lives. And here is a fact that bothers some people about all the signers of the Declaration I've just mentioned. Many are not bothered by these men's personal habits, although some of them are rightly questioned and perhaps should be offended and bothered by some of these men's personal habits. But rather than that, some are bothered that all of those signers I have mentioned owned slaves. Yes, even the men from Delaware and Pennsylvania. Dr. Benjamin Rush was a slave owner. Caesar Rodney of the colony of Delaware was a slave owner. Interestingly, while Richard Henry Lee owned slaves, Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, he did not himself use slave labor. He rented his slaves out and his farm in order to provide an income for his career. So others benefited from his slaves, but they did not own them. And with regard to slavery, that is my point. Slave owner or not, everyone in this country benefited from slavery. It isn't possible that thousands of man-hours of free labor doesn't benefit people who didn't own slaves. The production, the pricing, the shipping of any goods bought and sold in this country or shipped in somehow went through slave hands, or the price was balanced by the value of slaves as property. So to me, it doesn't make sense that these heroes imagined these heroes' images, doesn't make sense that their images are tarnished, and that bothers someone. It doesn't bother me, not at all. To me, it's all the more amazing that we have the freedoms and liberties that we have from the hands of these same men. And that enough people believed in these same freedoms to fight and to die to win those freedoms for the former slaves in this country? Now, what has this to do with the Bible? Well, actually, the same point. Heroes of the faith, their reputations are tarnished. And the miracle is that the Bible puts it right out in front for you and everyone to read and to see. Peter was headstrong and violent. Jesus once said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not on the side of God." Wow. Jesus said to Peter, "Those who live by the sword die by the sword. Put your sword away." All the disciples left Jesus and ran away when Jesus was arrested. Not a very brave thing to do. That wasn't a very heroic thing to do. They all abandoned Jesus. Peter would later that same night deny that he even knew Jesus. The Apostle Paul, by his own admission, persecuted Jesus' church. Perfect men? No. Perfect followers of Jesus? Well, what does today's Bible passage say? In this passage, the disciples cannot even drive out a demon. And my former professor pointed out that the word faith, little faith, and unbelief is mentioned three times in our Bible reading today. That Jesus could not do great things in his hometown was because of the lack of faith on the part of the townspeople. And what was true for the townspeople was true for the disciples as well. They could not drive out the demon because of their little faith. Jesus said of them on more than one occasion that the disciples had too little faith. In Matthew's book alone, Jesus is quoted as saying it to his own disciples about five times. O you of little faith. Faithful disciples? According to Jesus, not very faithful disciples. And yet they built the church on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And so now I have to ask you, what about you? Do you think that you have too little faith? Looks to me like you are in good company. Looks to me like you are in very good company. And that's not me speaking. That is the Bible speaking, isn't it? So can you be a hero of the faith? The Bible says that you qualify. Can you be a hero of the faith? The Bible says that you qualify to be a hero of the faith. Can you be a hero of the faith? Well, we think Peter was. We think Paul was. We think that Matthew was a hero of the faith, and he was a hated tax collector. Nobody liked him. You see, being a disciple isn't about you and what you can do. Being a disciple of Jesus is about you and what God can do with you. Being a disciple isn't about you and what you do. Being a disciple of Jesus is about you and what God can do with you. Jesus told these men of little faith in his last earthly words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of all things. Amen."